I'm Marilyn Heider, looking at hospitals without walls. Telehealth services began before the COVID-19 pandemic, and now just about every healthcare provider is offering services through virtual care. Joining me is Stuart Long with InfoBionic. They monitor cardiac patients in their home virtually. He says when the pandemic hit, telehealth and virtual care increased.
What happened was the government relaxed a lot of the rules around, you know, the ability to schedule, get these things done. Patients didn't have to worry about trying to get coverage from their insurance companies. Doctors were going to be reimbursed as if it was an in-person visit. And by that virtue, care was able to continue. We saw it across the board, dermatology, cardiology, radiology, pediatrics, behavioral health, you know, you name it. If there was an ology in healthcare, doctors were able to start to have, it started probably more broadly in just telephone calls. They were still able to connect with their patients. And then very rapidly, the deployment of tools that would allow physicians to either video chat, Zoom was a big one, and then there are a lot of telehealth companies that incorporate video along with other kinds of monitoring, like your weight, your blood pressure. There's lots of companies that have been doing care management in the home after patients are discharged for quite some time. So it took a couple of months, I think, for a lot of that to really kind of come together and coalesce, but it did quite rapidly. And so you've got telehealth really is an umbrella term that coincides with virtual care. And within the telehealth world, you have different elements like care management, which is really just managing the patient information. How do you get their billing information? How do you get their results? How do patients interact with the system and, you know, input data? Another subcomponent of that is what we call remote patient monitoring. And that can include a variety of different kinds of things. Like I mentioned, your blood pressure, your weight, what we call SpO2, which is your blood oxygen measurement, which was very important during the peaks of the pandemic and probably still is in some parts of the world. And then you can go further. And a lot of those are tests that are used to help just monitor the patients. And then there are what we call diagnostic tests that can be done where you're going to, you know, look for a problem based on a symptom, and then you'll make an actual diagnosis and then render a treatment from that or a therapy or some kind of service. And that's where we fall in terms of kind of the umbrella inside of remote patient monitoring. We provide diagnostic cardiac monitoring. Specifically, we look for changes in the heart called arrhythmia. And during the peak of the pandemic, we were very keen to find changes from some of the treatments that were being given to COVID relative to, you know, changes in the heart. And doctors were really interested in seeing what was happening with some of the treatments because some of those were negative.
When you're monitoring a heart patient, is that something that you're monitoring on a daily basis or specifically when they have a scheduled appointment?
But what we do is something that's prescribed by a physician. So a patient wouldn't be doing this normally every day. You know, like I have a Fitbit watch. You know, a lot of my colleagues have Apple watches that's kind of monitoring your heart throughout the day. You know, it gives you basically your heart rate and a few other things. The watches can sometimes suggest that there might be an issue. You know, the broader population, people will have a symptom. They may have fluttering in their chest. They may feel like they're having palpitations. They may be dizzy. They can be more severe where you can have actual pain. You could get dizzy and, you know, pass out and fall down. And so from all of those, they would contact their physician. If that wasn't a cardiologist, they would refer them to a cardiologist who would say, hey, look, we need to put a device on you that bill for trying to determine what's happening, and we'll put that on you. And then they would wear that for up to 30 days. There's different kinds of tests that the devices will do, and the tests range from a two-day test all the way up to 30 days.
And that's what your company does?
That's correct. Yeah, we provide diagnostic cardiac monitoring for the detection of arrhythmias and the diagnosis of those arrhythmias so doctors can intervene and, you know, make a treatment. So from something that we would detect, we would be able to give the doctor the diagnosis of what that is, and then they could prescribe medication, or it could be a procedure that would be required to be in the hospital or some laboratory where they would need to, you know, go inside the heart.
Do you think that this type of remote patient treatment therapy, is that the future? Is that going to stick with us?
Yeah, you know, it's been around since the mid-60s, so I don't think it's going anywhere for sure. I think if you just kind of look at in-person visits versus virtual visits, I think it peaked at around 80% virtual visits during the peak of the pandemic. And right now, by all metrics, we don't think it'll probably change for anything less than 50-50, purely for the convenience for patients. The efficiency gain that physicians have, the ability to manage workflow is much better. But at the same time, there's just a lot of things you don't really need to go to your doctor's office where a video visit or a picture of something, or they've had a test of hours and they want to review that with the patient. They can do that review online.
Stuart Long is with InfoBionic. I'm Marilyn Heider, Kogo News.